Now, these services are much lower key than our usual Sunday evening services. So the idea is that we'll just go as the Lord leads, but we'll encourage you at different times to share testimony as God prompts you. Or I sense tonight maybe different to whether Philip leads it. I sense in my heart I may encourage one of you or two of you just to share as well, who you might not want to be sharing, but I think God wants to really move us tonight and to do great things in our midst, as he has already. We're singing his praises. We're here to adore Jesus. Amen. That's good. I'd never heard the name of Alex de Tocqueville till the early hours of Friday morning when I was preparing to speak at a Christian breakfast. And he wrote these words: "The final aim of life is placed beyond." And you know, we're so caught up with the finite, aren't we? With what's happening in our days today, in this week. And as Oswald Chambers says, we're aiming at here, and God is aiming at there. And he wants to expand our vision. And I believe tonight, he wants to encourage us tonight. He wants us to be using our ears to listen. While we prayed tonight earlier on, Jean Murray said to the Lord, "Open, Lord, our ears tonight, that we might hear you." And that's my prayer tonight, that all of us will truly hear God tonight. We live close to the sea, and there's the phrase, isn't there, the call of the sea. I don't know if any of you has that call. There's also the call of the wilds, or the call of Africa. We don't all have the same call to the sea or to Africa. But it's only those who have the nature placed within them, that desire, who feel that call. The person next to you tonight might have that call to Africa or somewhere. But it's an internal thing that God prepares in our hearts for what he's doing. And it struck me the other day in one of my quiet times that I'd always thought of the call to Isaiah. And Isaiah didn't get a call to Isaiah. He overheard God speaking. Because he was so attuned and he was so walking in the ways of God that he was listening to God. This morning, Graham shared from Revelation about John, the apostle, being in the Spirit. And it says in Revelation that he heard a loud voice behind him. Well, we all maybe assume that actually, therefore, we'll hear a loud voice. And it doesn't need to be for the sea or Africa. It might be for something this week. But unless our ears are listening, will we actually hear what he's saying? Are our ears trained to hear? And it's strange, or maybe not strange, how it's when we're in a crisis that our ears are more sensitive to what God is saying to us. Isaiah, King Uzziah had died. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, Hezekiah was going through a crisis. And he wrote, "He's both spoken to me, and he himself has done it. I will walk carefully all my days." And it wasn't Isaiah's goodness that allowed him to hear. It was the fact that he was walking. He was open. He wanted to hear with all his heart what God was saying to him. There's a phrase used in Exodus, in Deuteronomy 20:28, where it reads, God says, "If you will diligently heed." And what that means is, if hearing, you hear. If you listen with the most tremendous care. And I just wonder how often we're hearing lots of noises. And if your ears have ever been blocked up, and you're with someone and you can't hear what they're saying because it's drowned by the cacophony of noise around you. Whether we're dull at times. I know I am, and I know the Lord will speak to me at times, and I'm so busy doing something that I'll half hear, and before I know, I've forgotten and moved on. And echoing Jean's prayer earlier, that God will open our ears tonight, and he'll speak to our hearts. And she then prayed that we'll be obedient to whatever God says to us and whatever he says to us. 7 times in Revelation, the Lord says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And this says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door," that's the next part of it, hearing and then opening. And what a promise. He'll come in and dine with us and be with us. My goodness, what a promise. Okay. Hallelujah. Maria, I'm landing this upon you. I'm looking at you, Maria. I just wonder, would you just like, is there anything on your heart that you'd like to share from having heard the Lord in recent days?
I was wondering to come and share something. Some of you know that I have problems with my son for a long time, and it gets worse. And some time ago, a couple of months ago, I was thinking about him, and I got this thought that he will meet somebody that loves him for years, and he will be restored and forget the past, the trouble he's in. And I came to my bedroom I wasn't praying, I wasn't thinking about anything. And I got this verse that is not a verse that I ever think about, the book that I read, although I read the book. And it says, written there, "I will give you back the years the locusts has eaten."
Amen.
So I didn't went back and asked the Lord what that means, but I have been resting and asked him. Anyway, a couple of days ago, I took a little booklet and I started reading. And I was so enthroned on it, and I read it twice. And then I read too, but nothing. Well, I was exciting, very excited. And today, this afternoon, I went back, and that phrase stuck right in my eyes and said, "Don't worry about anything. Everything God does is perfect." Mm-hmm. So I rest. What he's doing, my son, is in his hands.
Amen. Bless you. It's terrific. Hallelujah. Who else would like to really, you just burden something that you'd like to share? Tim? You're right, actually. Just God answering prayer, really.
It's more of just a general point, really, that I think God's moving amongst us as a church in a very special way at the moment, and I don't think it's something that we're necessarily expecting or sort of anticipating, but I've just been very aware of the Lord's goodness and his nearness, and been just struck by the amount of people who are saying, "I want more of God." And I've been reflecting, I shared this with some of the band this morning, Isaiah 55, it just says, "Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. And I've just been encouraged by people who've been coming and saying, I want more of God. And as people have been doing that, I've been thinking, yeah, I want more of God too. And yeah, just encourage you. God's invitation is to come and have more of him. There's always more of him. He's a big God. So come and ask for more of him.
I think we say amen that we cannot pre-plan God. It's about walking day by day and walking in the Spirit and being open to what he's saying to us and praying that he will unblock us, as in Psalm 40. He opens our ears, that he might truly open our ears. So on these Sunday evenings, we'll just pause a moment or two. Have you heard from the Lord clearly just in the last few days or in the last few weeks where God's really been speaking to you, and you know he has? Mary? Sorry. Yeah, please.
I've actually heard from the Lord, but I was mighty surprised yesterday when I was able to read Psalm 1, 2, and 3 in a matter of moments, and I can't read.
Well,
I can't read.
That's wonderful.
I managed to get through Psalm 1, 2, and 3 yesterday morning.
Right.
I was surprised.
Praise God. That's great.
It's the first time in my life I was able to read one word, let alone all that.
So you read three Psalms, having not read?
Not read in my life before.
You can't read?
No.
Amazing.
I come from a backwards side as well, the good side.
What's Penny? I'll sort of pick somebody out, but I just, Philip doesn't do this, I appreciate this, but I just.
Yeah. Well, I just had something just now when we were worshipping, and it was from that first song where we were talking about God's love endures forever, and I had in my head a picture of a permanent marker pen, and I thought, well, that's, can't really share that, it's not very exciting. But then the thought came to me that we know that our names are graven or written on the hands of God. But I don't know if any of you with children or grandchildren have seen the Toy Story movies. And the cowboy doll, Woody, has the name of his owner written on his foot. And his boy that owns him is called Andy. And he's written his name in permanent marker on the bottom of his foot. And I thought, our names are written on God's hands. Mm-hmm. But if we have given ourselves to Jesus and we know that he loves us, he's actually written his name on our foot, on our heart. So if you're doubting, does God love you, that is a permanent contract between you and God. That it's just written there. Nothing can rub that away.
Yes.
That just reminds me of something that happened to us. My daughter Anna is now 37. And when she was about, 15, 16, we went to America?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She was about 15 or 16. We went to America, and she'd never really, she'd never made a commitment to the Lord, although she did know a bit, but she hadn't sort of taken it in. Anyway, we went to America, and we attended a church, very big church, and a very good speaker, and it was... The outreach was to youth. And she went forward, and we were absolutely thrilled to bits. And when she came back, she said, I've given the agenda of my life to the Lord. And we were thrilled. But talking about hearing God, I sort of thought, well, I wonder if this will last. And I believed that God said to me, Anna will forget this, but I'll never forget it. And she did forget it, really, because she just lived her own life. She went to university and did all the things that are not good. And as a result of that, she had a lot of suffering, really. She was very disobedient to the Lord, and she did suffer. But in fact, now she's 37 and she lives in Singapore. And in a sense, we do pray for her, of course, but we've just sort of left her with the Lord. And we went to Singapore about a month ago to visit her. And I said to her on the phone, is there anything you really want us to bring? And she said, well, can you bring me some Bible study notes? I was absolutely stunned and tried to keep really calm. And I said, well, yes, yes. And she said, you know, something like daily bread or something. So I said, yes. Have you got a Bible? And she said, no. So I said, can we bring you a Bible? And she said, well, yes, but don't bring me a great big one. Bring me a little one. And we did. And when we got to Singapore, she did read. She was reading. She read notes. And we found out that she had, in fact, been going to church, different churches, but she had been going to church. And the Lord is gently sort of drawing her back. And it's all those years later. And I just know that God was sort of saying, he wasn't exactly saying this is going to be years and years and years, fortunately, but you know that word, Anna will forget this, but I will never forget it. And he said, it's written. That's what reminded me, you saying about it's written, and I will never forget it. So that just, I just remembered that when Penny was sharing. So, you know, don't give up kind of thing.
So hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by a word of God. Right, Graham, do come and share now on seeing.
Good evening, everybody. We often sing, well, I don't know, actually, it's often is the right word, but we do sing a song which says, our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I sing that, actually, I don't really appreciate just how awesome God is. But our God is an awesome God. Our God sees everything. Nothing escapes his notice. On the sixth day of creation, when God had created the whole array of the earth and the heavens, it says that he saw, and he saw that it was very good. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. A God who sees. And we're going to be looking at Genesis 7 and 8. Don't be worried. But if you like a Bible, Wendy is coming round. Just raise your hand and it'll be brought to you. And if you like to look at chapter 6 and verse 5. And it says there, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. And the first thing that I want to say tonight is that God sees us at our very worst. Did you notice the end part of that? That he even knows the inclination of the thought of our hearts. If you're familiar with the story of King David, you will know that there was a day when his army were away fighting a battle, and for some reason David was at home. And he went up onto the roof of his palace, and he was walking around there, and he saw a beautiful woman bathing. And he made inquiries as to who she was, and discovered that she was the wife of one of his soldiers. And he summoned her to come and join him. And he slept with her, and she became pregnant. And David tried to cover this up. He tried several ways, but none of them worked. And then he decided on a course of action, which was to send to the commander of his army a message. And that message was to arrange for the husband of this woman to be put at the forefront of the battle, and then they were to withdraw, and he obviously would be killed. And this is what happened. And David took this woman to be his wife. David had not only committed adultery, he had committed murder. And God sent a prophet to speak to him about this. I won't go into it for the sake of time. But when this prophet came and spoke to David, David realized what he had done. And there's a psalm of his, Psalm 51. And in that psalm, he acknowledges what he has done. And turn it if you like, but I'll read just the first part of it for you. Sorry. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. I have done what is evil in your sight. He realized that God had seen everything that he had done. And David was forgiven and restored. And that's the wonderful thing, that even though God sees us at our very worst, that if we come and repent of our sin, that he will forgive us. And that's because of what Jesus did on the cross that we'll be focusing on later in this service. So that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? That even though God sees us at our very worst, that we can come and confess our sin, and he will forgive and restore us. So that's the first thing. The second thing I want to say is that God sees us when we're going through a hard time. Now, going back to Genesis 6 and 7, it's the story of Noah. And you no doubt recall how God told Noah to build an ark. And people don't really know how long it took Noah to build that ark. But they reckon it was in years. So it was quite a long time. And can you imagine what it must have been like for Noah during that time? Building a boat miles away from the sea. Can you imagine the taunting, the mockery, the jokes that he would have had to put up with? We know that he would have told the people what he was doing, that he was doing it in obedience to what God had told him to do. And this went on for years. And although we don't know, but we can imagine that his wife, I'm sure she was very loving and a loyal wife, but I'm sure there must have been times when perhaps she would have said to him, Noah, are you sure that God has said this to you? Are you sure that you're doing the right thing? And that would be quite a human thing, really, to do. But what about his sons? He had two sons. Can you imagine what it was like for them? Dad, you're an embarrassment. Do you know what people are saying? No doubt they were taunted and mocked as well. And this went on for a very long time. But we know that God vindicated Noah. And so it's a wonderful thing, isn't it, that God sees us when we go through these difficult times, when we're being obedient to him, and people perhaps mock and can be quite cruel to us. But as we're faithful, God will vindicate us. The last thing I want to say is that there came a time when God said to Noah that he was to go into the ark with his family. In chapter 7 and verse 1, the Lord then said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I found you righteous in this generation. And then in verse 16 of chapter 7 of Genesis, it says, then the Lord shut him in. There's a sort of finality about that, isn't there? God shut the door. Peter, writing in his letter, in his epistle, tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He would have been telling the people. And you can imagine how hard it must have been for him going into the ark, knowing that perhaps relations, friends, neighbors, people in the community, they'd had the opportunity of responding and putting their trust in God, but they'd missed the opportunity. In Peter's letter, he also mentions how that God did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others. And then in 1 Peter 3, verse 20, he says, God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. God was patient. He was giving people the opportunity. Although it was so tough for Noah, God was giving people the opportunity to put their faith in him. But they didn't. There is going to come a time when there will be no further opportunity to put our trust in the Lord Jesus, to have faith in God. In Luke's gospel, it tells us that just as in the days of Noah, so will it be in the day when the Son of Man returns. That's when the Lord Jesus comes back. And it's in Luke 17, and I'm just going to read you some verses that go on from that to help you perhaps to appreciate what it could be like. And in chapter 17 of Luke's Gospel, it says, just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. That's when he comes back. People were eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. And then verse 31. On that day, no one who is on the roof of his house with his goods inside should go down to get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. And then it talks about Lot's wife. And then in verse 34, I tell you, on that night, two people will be in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken and the other left. So that's a challenge to us, isn't it? To make sure that we're right with God. Because if we have turned away from God, if we don't believe in him, if we don't trust him, then there come a day when it will be too late to change our minds. And so I plead with anybody here tonight who's not taken that step of faith to do that. We have an awesome God, a God who sees us in our worst moments. But as we come and confess our sins, he forgives us. We have a God who sees us when we're going through really difficult times. But he will vindicate us when we're obedient to him. It must have been hard for Noah, as I say, when that door was shut, thinking about all those people left behind. And it's perhaps a challenge to us too, isn't it? To want to make known, as Noah did, or tried to do, he was a preacher of righteousness. Let's think about our friends and our family members, our neighbours, people in our community who don't know the Lord. Let's pray that they will not be left behind. Amen.
In a moment, we're going to take the offering. I just wonder if the worship team could come back and just lead us in, like Katie and Hannah. I'd love us to focus tonight as we worship on all that Jesus has done for you and for me, for each of us personally. God sees, as Graham said, we hear. So let's just pause a moment, just still ourselves and be so grateful for all that Jesus has done for us, for the price he's paid for you and for me. We see the world and all that it does, but we're talking about the living God, who gave himself for each one of us. Let's praise him and thank him.